Life's a game, the world's a stage, and we are merely role players where theatrical people play role-playing games. I'm Matt Boothman, and I'm your compere. Let me show you to your seats. Here on Merely Role Players, we improvise stories to entertain ourselves and you. And we use role-playing games to keep those stories going places even we can't see coming, because, as theatrical people, we're all about maximising the drama, darling. This is Act 1 of Labyrinth Untold, one of our studio productions. The studio is where we experiment with different formats, different role-playing games, and different genres of story. In this production, Natalie Winter will be our Goblin Queen for a race against time through Jim Henson's Labyrinth, the adventure game. You don't need to be caught up on anything else we've produced to jump into Labyrinth Untold, but it might help to be at least aware of the 1986 movie Labyrinth. And in fact, all our productions tell a complete story, so if you enjoy this one and you want to be able to try something else we've done, just go back through our catalogue, find any episode with Act 1 in its title, and you'll be able to jump right in there. Starting from now, we'll release a new act of Labyrinth Untold every other week. And to keep you going through those weeks in between, we'll release backstage episodes that give you a peek behind the scenes. So stay tuned for the first one of those next week. In the meantime, please take your seats in the studio. Tonight's production is about to begin.
Hello everyone, my name is Nat. I will be your Goblin Queen today, running the Labyrinth RPG. Welcome everyone, let's meet our players for this series.
Hello, I'm Matt Boothman, I'm a player this series.
Yay, that's exciting.
Hi, I'm Ellie Pitkin and I'm also a player this series.
good, thank you for establishing this.
Hello, the third player this series is me, Strat.
I'm Helen, and I'm also overjoyed to be a player in this series.
That's nice. The rest of them are just here. You're overjoyed to be here. Yeah. I like that. You're my favourite already.
Oh, teacher's pet.
On a hill, in the pre-dawn light, smoky pink sky, sense of weirdness and slightly off balance, I think you all feel. Staring down at a place that you all in one capacity or other used to live. You're all staring down at the labyrinth. Strange, now that you're outside it, it almost looks like a toy, like a model village up on the hill. That perspective, just a little strange. What silhouettes do we see?
Silhouetted against the rosy dawn is Gundle, a bird type person, a bird creature. Imagine a shoebill stork about the height of a human teen, but not as terrifying as a real world shoebill stork, because Gundle is incredibly kind of rumpled and ratty looking. Looks like he's been plucked and then re-upholstered with feathers taken from old sofa cushions and feather dusters. There's a, raises a cloud of dust whenever he flaps his wings, and he looks a bit grey, a bit black, a bit white, and with a sling bag across his chest with painting supplies, paintbrushes and tubes of oils spilling out of it.
I was going to wait to introduce her last, but we should also mention that this plane, this buff overlooking the labyrinth, is occupied by a cat who will be following the party throughout the labyrinth.
Another dastardly trick sent by the Goblin Queen, no doubt.
so you may hear little mews of Maud in the background scampering around. Ellie.
I am playing Sir Barold von Branwick, a knight of yore. He looks like a fox, the size of a fox, fresh-faced, fresh out of night school, wearing a little waistcoat with a pocket watch and a jaunty angled hat and a general air of eager excitement around him.
Adding to the silhouette of Sir Barold, mm-hmm. perched atop the knight's hat, does the hat like have a big feather in it or anything?
Yeah, like a cavalier style.
Brilliant. Trying to chew part of the feather off so he can work out how to affix it to his hat is Winkle the Worm, who wants nothing more than to become the first ever worm knight of yore and has hitched a ride unknownst to Sir Barold.
And completing our party, Helen.
I am playing Linda the Horned Beast. Linda is best part of 10 foot tall, very furry, all big features in a big head. One of the horns has got a little hair thingy that a human dropped in the labyrinth sometime with a little bow on.
I love that we've got the full range of sizes here as well, from the biggest possible kin to the tiniest possible kin. This very asymmetrical group silhouette that we see on top of the hill looks down upon the labyrinth, and as you start to step your way towards it, you hear behind you, "Beautiful, isn't it?" There is a human-looking woman, quite rare in the labyrinth, full on Renaissance, like long tumbles of curly hair. In terms of clothes, it's not even like a formed item of clothing, but it's just like swaths of fabric drawn up together in a viney choker around her neck, a garland of flowers upon her head, like a crown, and little trails of vines decorate her arms and trail down to her fingers, forming rings.
Mm.
And she stands there, silks wafting beautifully in the breeze, hair lifting in the breeze.
Hello!
Barold is surprised to hear a voice coming from above his head, but takes the priority of bowing low to the fair lady. Oh, milady, welcome. Hello and greetings.
Greetings, small little knight. What are you all doing out here?
Heading back in.
Back in.
Well, that was the idea. I only needed to pop out just for a bit, just to see all of it.
But you left.
Well, yes, I couldn't see it to paint it from the inside, so I had to come out a bit, but I'm going back in now.
You left of your own volition. She looks sad.
Gundle looks worried. This hadn't occurred to Gundle that this might be a bad thing.
And you?
Lost. Sad.
Yes, very sad. She reaches an arm and kind of pats. She can't reach your shoulder, but she'll pat your arm gently and stroke the fur. Very sad. And you? You're intending to go back inside as well?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a very important place to be, I'm afraid. I can't linger much, so I would love to chat away the day with you, fair maiden. But alas, there are important things I must away.
Such as?
A ceremony. I am to become officially a knight of yore.
A knight of yore. How splendid. Sir Barold, was it?
Well, you must be a very learned lady to have guessed my moniker. Wonderful.
The von Branwick family.
Yes, proudly so.
What a shame you'll never be able to rejoin them.
Oh, a joke, my lady.
Her soft and gentle countenance turns into a crueler smile. And as she steps towards you, the soft, billowing nature of everything around her unfolds itself and turns into feathers. Dark raven feathers expand outwards into a huge collar. A dark thorny crown pulls from her temples out sideways. It scoops the curls into a giant sort of mohawk trailing down her back. And the feathers form like dark corseted dress and mantle.
Gundle's on one leg with a paintbrush seized in the other claw, holding the paintbrush between himself and this figure, squinting past it, getting scale.
Not looking threatening, not looking to attack, looking to memorise for later art.
Gotta capture this moment. I didn't seem that interested in the more gentle version. Much more interested in this version.
Yeah. We're not after repainting the Birth of Venus. We're after full-on gothic. Yeah, good. Your question, Sir Barold, was a jest, my lady. As she stalks towards you, this transformation happens. She reaches a finger towards you. The vines twisting around her hands have turned into silver ornamentation over her fingers. She's got one of those long claw rings on the finger, and she, under your chin, just that little claw. I never jest. You want to get back into the labyrinth? Well, you should never have left in the first place. This is, as you may have guessed, the Goblin Queen, Maladith. She, as she's up close with Sir Barold, her attention will flicker up to above Sir Barold's head. This is quite unusual, I think, for you, Winkle. You are used to larger folk than yourself not really paying attention to you. But she sees you. And you. What is your intention here?
I'm going to be a knight!
Sweet. You have to actually get the medals and accomplish something to be a knight.
Well, that's why I hitched a lift with this fella here. I'm going to accomplish whatever this lot want, and then I'll be a knight. I read the books. I can spell it too. N-I-G-T. Knight.
Excellent work. And how do you think, with your diminished size, you may ever wear one of these? And with her clawed finger, she produces one of the medals that Sir Barold, you once lost. The medal that you lost, which meant that you were denied access to the ceremony required for you to become a knight. She holds it up and it's almost as big as you are.
Ooh. Well, that will have to be one of the things I overcome to become a knight.
It looks temptingly close to your face, Sir Barold.
Sir Barold has a quivering snoot and is whiffling towards it, but a little bit too scared to reach out and take it.
She clasps it and it disappears inside her feathery mantle. She turns once again to Linda. You wish to get back inside my labyrinth. What do you desire in there?
You stole my book.
Stole?
Stole.
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 I am your queen, beast. I do not steal. Everything of yours belongs to me already.
My book.
My book. And as she leans towards you, it is in her other hand. And a very interesting read it is too. Can you remember what is inside?
Linda looks off into the distance and frowns. No, my book.
Lots of stories, you know. There's quite a delightful one about the first time you tried ice cream. I'll hold on to that. And, oh, who was that? A friend. Can you remember them?
Friend. My book.
No.
My story.
My friends. She snaps the book closed and it disappears into her cloak again. Well, if you want it back, I suppose there is a way.
How?
She extends her arm to show the labyrinth behind her. You've all been staring at it. You wish to return. Usually, denizens who leave my kingdom are outcast forever. But if you are determined enough, I'll set you a challenge. She draws a circle in the air and a clock appears with 13 numbers around it. And the hands spin and settle on the number one. If you can make it to my castle within the centre of the labyrinth before the time runs out, maybe you can get your things back. But now that you have left, the denizens will have forgotten you and who you once were. They may see you as a threat, so be wary. Good luck. She extends her arms out and, with a clatter of feathers, turns into a large raven, which caws and fusses around all of your heads. You have to duck out of the way, and then flies off, disappearing into the labyrinth itself.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. My medals.
The Queen. I've never seen her so up close.
She's very big.
Magnificent. I must capture that spirit somehow, somewhere. Did she say everyone in the labyrinth will have forgotten us?
Yes. She did.
I've got to get to the castle very soon.
Why? Can I help?
Please, I need all the help I can get. All of us, it sounds like we all need to get there.
A quest.
If they've forgotten me, they'll paint over my frescoes in the castle.
That sounds very important.
Goblins have very bad taste.
Yes.
They don't like paintings unless somebody in them is pooing or being sick.
Oh, a fresco is a painting.
Yes, it is, you uneducated.
Nice.
I'm very educated. I went to night school, actually.
They didn't teach you anything about painting or art or frescoes.
They teach you everything that's important there, though, don't they?
Yes, everything that's important.
Okay, no time, let's go.
What was the most important thing they taught you?
Let's go.
I would say maybe the most important thing was chivalry.
And how do you do that?
Well, it involves many things. Opening doors, bowing low, reverence in the tone.
Let's go!
I'm assuming Linda has already started stomping down towards the labyrinth.
Gundle in tow.
I think I could do two of those three things. Opening doors, bit of a problem.
Yes, you're right. We'll work on it.
Shall we go?
Yes, let's.
You follow the others down to the edge of the labyrinth, and as you walk closer, the scale changes vastly. It goes from looking like a model toy to stretching high and vast, to the point where you, as you get close to the edge of the stone walls, you can't see the end to the left and the right of you.
You see, this is why I had to come outside to be able to paint it. You can't see a thing of it from down here.
And as you get close to the edge of the walls, you lose sight of the goblin city and the goblin castle in the centre. All you can see now ahead of you are the stone walls. As you were on the hill, you could glimpse, you know, this outer edge is a maze of stone corridors. And now you reach the walls. You see ahead of you no openings or gates, no footprints around, but there is a square stone-lined pond filled with water that looks a little suspect. As you approach, two voices will call out to you. Two voices that you hadn't seen as you walked up. To one side, there is a dwarven man, and to the other, there is a horned beast. The dwarven man has been walking around the pond with a waddle, looks over to you all and says,
"Oh, what are you doing here then?"
Well, my good compatriot person, we are looking to complete our quest. We must journey to the castle.
To the castle? You'll never get to the castle.
Not with that attitude, won't. Are you able to point us in the right direction?
He looks over at the horned beast, who just goes, "Ooh."
Well, if you ask me, you would do the smart thing and turn around and go away. But, you know, there's a couple of options here. You could do the smart thing and go that way if you like. As you look where he is pointing, a door has appeared in the stone walls. Go on, do the smart thing.
The horned beast, who is sat a little further off the other side of the pond.
No,
Do wise thing. And points. And as you look, another door has appeared.
Is it better to be smart or wise?
I don't know if we should listen to either of these people. Look at the state of this pond. I wouldn't clean my brushes in that.
As you look at the pond, Gundle, do you want to make me a roll? Let's do the first roll of the game.
Hooray!
This is a looking, perceiving mm-hmm. roll, and the difficulty is going to be 3.
Okay. Not a piece of cake. I don't think I have anything that would help me or hinder me here mm-hmm. particularly. I don't think being a snob would particularly hurt me, mm-hmm. hinder me from looking at a pond.
Mm-hmm.
Neither would running and jumping help me look at the pond. So I'm just rolling a single.
You don't want to run and jump in the pond.
No, <Nope. laughs> not on this occasion. So I just need to roll a 3 or higher.
3 or higher.
Ah.
No.
Oh, no. You have rolled the owl.
Oh, no.
The one.
Well, they didn't cover this in night school.
Wise door, wise.
Well, I feel like you're biased.
No, it's pronounced beast.
Thank you, worm.
The horned
beast. The name's Winkle.
Winkle worm.
Just Winkle.
One name. I'm not used to one name.
Our worms just have one name. We're not big enough for two.
Look, wise sounds slow. Smart sounds like a shortcut to me.
How about we just flip a coin?
I haven't got any.
Oh, I haven't got any either. Have you got any?
We could flip my hat.
Okay, but let me get off of it first.
Have either of you got a coin we could flip?
Oh, well, now you're asking for things from me more than advice, honestly. Haven't I given you enough?
We'll give it back.
You're going to have to persuade him to give any of his trinkets away. Dwarves, very much a fan of their trinkets once kept.
Look, I can see that you've got some things we could flip, and honestly, they're very gaudy, and you're...
Gaudy?
Yes.
How dare you? This is the finest!
It would honestly improve your look if you didn't have them, so you could give them to us.
That's what Coco Chanel says. Move one accessory before leave.
The horned beast looks at you and goes, wise.
Wise door.
If you would like to persuade the dwarf to give you something to flip, you're now going to be making a roll at disadvantage because of that.
Yeah. Because I have been a snob to him. What's my difficulty?
Well, you're rolling with disadvantage now. Let's go with a 3 again.
Okay. Roll higher than a 1 on 2 dice. I can.
Hey.
It's a 4 and a 5.
What happens is he looks over to the horned beast, who, by the way, has very dark black shaggy fur, like the longest fur coming, that like you can see a face underneath, but it's like the hair on the top of her head extends almost to the floor. And he looks over at her and says,
you catch the gym of this guy. He is awful.
And she just looks at him and goes,
why, you think they've actually got a chance?
Maybe.
Oh, fine. You always persuade me. Go on, then.
And he will toss you a coin. It doesn't have heads and tails on it. It has beaks and claws instead.
Actually, up close, I quite like the look of this.
Ah, you don't get to hold on to that. That's coming straight back to me.
Somebody with thumbs flip this.
Witches. Heads and witches tails.
Yes, which do we use as wise and which do we use as smart?
Claws are wise and beaks are smart.
Works for me.
Sure.
Do you want to roll a d6 and evens are smart and odds are wise? Odds.
Odds.
That's one. So you're going for the wise door.
Mm-hmm.
The coin has spoken.
Wise door.
The door, as you look at it, is it's carved stone that's overgrown with moss. The large horned beast nods her head approvingly.
Wise.
Come on, then. Come on. You've made a decision. It wasn't the right one. Honestly, good luck to you. I bet we'll see you back here any minute now. Fabulous. So now, as we're entering the labyrinth, I would like two of you to roll a d6. And if the numbers match, then one of you needs to re-roll.
You two that haven't rolled so far would be nice.
Will it be
nice? Will it?
Six.
Five
and a six. Lovely. All right. So you enter the stone walls of the labyrinth. There is a stone wall ahead of you, corridors to the left and right, a great maze to navigate, uneven stone bricks, and every time you turn a corner, it seems to extend impossibly far in that direction. But just as you think you might give up because it's going to be too far, an opening to the side manifests to you.
One day I'm going to have painted all of these walls. Look how bare they are.
Such ambition.
It'd be much nicer with something on them.
Well, you say they are bare. They are free from art. Mm. The walls themselves, these stone bricks, seem to glitter in the light. You have noticed as you step inside the stone walls that the temperature drops considerably. It feels cold.
Hmm.
How do you all deal with the cold? You're probably fine.
Yes, all good. All good in Linda's hood.
How do the rest of you deal with cold?
Well, I suppose Barold is also fairly furry, but I think mostly by sort of quite frenetic movement. If a cold wave overcomes him, he sort of does a little shake and a skip and a hop and moves faster.
I've waited until Linda walked past and I am jumping ship and snuggling down in the fur.
Yeah, fair.
It was bound to happen.
And Gundle's just puffing up the feathers in a big cloud of dust.
Nice. It does take you a while, but you do start to make progress. And the sparkliness of the walls, it's hard to tell whether it's just, is it slime? Is it frost? Mm. Is it just that someone's come along and thrown a glitter bomb in this entire place?
Well, actually, looking at it closer, I'm not sure this surface would take paint.
And you do occasionally see patches of moss, tangles of dead plant stems and vines, bits of walls collapse that you can clamber over to find your way into the next corridor. Eventually, you find yourself in an opening with, in the centre, a huge stone clock, the size of a chimney, and it's in an open square, and it has hands shaped like swords, displaying the current hour, which is 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The entire square around this clock, the floor is littered with cogs and gears of all shapes and sizes. Some are stacked and ordered neatly, and some of them are just scattered about. And from behind the clock, you can hear some anxious muttering.
Hello there. Who goes there?
Who goes there?
Well, we go here. All of us, actually. We're looking to find our way through the labyrinth. We've stumbled upon your clock. Is this your clock?
Oh yes, it's perfect timing.
And as you come around the corner of the clock tower, out from one of the holes in the clock tower clambers a dwarven woman, like quite small dwarven woman. She would have had to like clamber inside and fit, covered in dust, and she's wearing sort of like leather overalls and holding wrenches, and she's got a belt with like carved in tools.
Yes, you're here to help me, yes?
Well, we're rather pressed for time, ironically.
Yes, time. Time. Well, time seems to be on your side at the moment, although I do need help fixing this clock. Maybe it could be even more on your side.
Oh, well, I mean, that does sound rather enticing, and also I'm not one to abandon a person in distress who might benefit from our aid, so what can we do to assist?
Don't volunteer all of us. I'm not a common craftsperson.
Oh, think you can make it in the maze on your own, do you, birdie?
Well, this person's clearly the most qualified to fix the clock if it needs fixing.
But no, but I do need assistance, though.
Yes. Well, you're lucky, because you have 2 knights ready to help.
2 whole knights? My goodness. What are your qualifications?
Well, I have attended night school, and I am now schooling this rather talented potential young knight.
And I have a feather.
She sort of waddles up to you and has those glasses that's like round glasses and has another layer that are smaller and smaller and smaller and tick, 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 and gets right up in your face.
Hello.
Really? You're going to be a knight?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
We were taught the most important element of being a knight is bravery and honour, and in the few minutes that I've known this stand-up chap, there's been nothing but bravery and honour seeping out of his wormy paws.
Right. Well, what we're going to do is I need to fix this clock. See, it's wrong, you see. So before, when you walked in, the clock displayed the time of 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You realise that the time has now been set to 7 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Wow.
You see, the clock is broken, so we need to fix that.
And is this clock a very influential clock? Will it affect other readings of clocks? Is this the official time now?
It matches. Well, if you help me fix it, then I can make sure that things slow down a little bit for you on your quest.
Then we want to get there quickly.
How can we help?
Oh.
Okay, well, I can't see the problem inside and fix the problem outside at the same time, you see. So, if I go inside and I tell you what to do, then you're going to have to do it. Yes? Okay.
She climbs inside the clock tower.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
This is important. Each sequence needs to be repeated quickly. When I tell you to do something, you need to do it quickly, because if you delay, we'll have to start all over again from the beginning. All right?
Yes.
You hear some clanking and banging. You are there prepared with cogs and tools and looking at the outside of this clock. And Dross says to you,
"All right then, adjust the balance wheel, tighten the pendulum, loosen the mainspring."
It's all gone.
Adjust.
She said it's so
balance wheel.
Tighten the spring.
I thought it was tighten the mainspring last.
Loosen the balance wheel. Balance the pendulum. Tighten the
mainspring. I think. I like what Wormfriend has.
I trust Wormfriend.
I wish this were a dangerous task. That's where I excel.
You try to either is clanking and you hear from inside.
Oh no, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right.
Okay,
let me say it again. Adjust the balance wheel. Tighten the pendulum. Loosen the mainspring.
Adjust the balance wheel.
Tighten the pendulum. Loosen the mainspring.
You hear a positive sounding clunk.
Oh, okay, look, that's phase one.
Oh, no.
Should we each take on one of these rather than all?
Yes.
Because
they're not three each.
Maybe if there's four coming up, each of us should remember one of the instructions.
Oh, he's a smart cookie, isn't he?
What a clever bird.
Ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Rebalance the ratchet. Wind the pinwheel. Replace the rack hook. Remove the escape wheel.
Rebalance the ratchet.
Wind the pinwheel.
Replace the rack hook.
Remove the escape wheel.
Clunk. Positive clunk.
Oh, what an excellent strategy.
We should take this idea of strategy and tactics back to night school. I think that might help.
We didn't do any of that.
Okay, you ready for the final round?
Yep. So this time you're remembering two.
Two. How many?
Two.
Two.
How many?
Two. You're making me doubt myself now.
Two.
I think if you're three? Specifically asking Linda, who is forgetful, to remember two, then regardless of whether Helen remembers, I'm going to ask you to roll to see if Linda remembers.
Are you ready for round three?
Ready.
Ready.
Spin the regulator, grease the suspension spring, clean the click spring, align the hairspring, lock the chime flute.
spring the regulator.
Grease the suspension spring.
Click the
align the hairspring.
Maybe something about an amulet.
I think we roleplayed for getting that quite well.
So now we roll, and
what
then it all
have
goes
you
well.
Done.
No, because Linda was not the one who forgot.
Oh no!
Click the something spring.
Knights are fallible. My tiny brain is blown.
Drog peeks out of the clock. You know that means we've got to start again now, right? Here we go. Are you ready?
Do you want to do it the other way around this time?
Yes, very much so.
Let's first strategy didn't work. Let's change strategy.
Yes, Grundle goes first.
Adjust the balance wheel. Tighten the pendulum. Loose the mainspring.
Adjust the balance wheel.
Tighten the pendulum.
Loose the mainspring.
Ah, clunk. Good clunk. All
you're
right
just
then.
Practicing remembering.
Practice remembering.
Good idea.
Here we go. Round two. Rebalance the ratchet, wind the pinwheel, replace the rack hook, remove the escape wheel.
Rebalance the ratchet.
Wind the pinwheel.
Replace the rack hook.
Remove the escape wheel.
All right, good. This is looking good. Round three. Spin the regulator, grease the suspension spring, click spring, align the hairspring, lock the chime flirt.
Spin the regulator.
Grease the suspension spring.
Click that click spring.
Align the hairspring.
Lock the chime flirt.
Bong!
Hooray!
Kaloo kalay! Truly we have achieved a great thing here today.
Well, it's nice if you like that sort of thing, but I think the swords' hands are a bit on the nose.
This
and...
is good news.
Droth clambers out of the clock. Ah, marvellous. And you notice the hands are spinning round and round and round away from the seven. And they go to the one and stop. And then she looks at you all, thumps the clock, and the hand ticks backwards to the 13.
Is
this good?
Oh, no, that means it's yesterday now.
Oh, wow.
I forgot yesterday.
Well, thank you ever so much for all of your help. That's very useful. And now we can all breathe easy that time is going to progress normally again. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for the time. Can you slow the time down today?
I already have. It's now yesterday. You've got an hour of yesterday as well as all of the hours of tomorrow.
I forgot. Thank you.
You are quite welcome.
If we have an hour of yesterday and all of the hours tomorrow, when are we now?
Are we going to spend all of the hours talking?
No.
I like to think that this conversation happens as you start making your way through the other side, and Droth kind of waves you off, and then she starts gathering all of her cogs.
Before we go, excuse me, do you have any spare... clock hands. Yeah.
Clock hands. Can you make me a roll? This is going to be a difficulty 3, not a piece of cake.
Okay.
I can help by checking the very top of the clock tower. I can see the clock and all around, and I can see all up on the roof. Whoa. I see up
you're
high.
Big, mm-hmm. 'Cause you're very big.
Mm, big.
Great, sure. That takes it down to a piece of cake.
Ooh. A 6.
Yeah,
you get 8 clock hands.
You can see as you ask the question, as you look around, I'm sure some of those were cogs before, but now there are clock hands on the floor. Ooh. Clock hands on the roof.
Mm.
And you can see that one of the loops on Dross's belt, what looked like before might have been turnkeys, is actually like spindly small. Clock hands.
Oh, I've got clock hands everywhere. Why? For what? For what purpose?
Well, my wondrous mentor here seems to have lost his sword, and we can't have a knight without a sword, so I thought one of these clock hands might be a wondrous replacement, so he can teach me how to swing it about and poke the right bits in the right places.
I suppose you have done me a favour. Let me have a look. Ah, well, there is one, I believe your furry friend has pointed out. Let's see. And she will kind of, like, take out one of the tiny ones on the loop and kind of look at you and kind of size it up, much like Gundel was sizing up the Goblin Queen before. And she will, like, heft one up that's, like, that's, like, twice your size. No. Your size, I think I was storing them on the roof.
Ah, well, fair lady, whilst we are terribly grateful for the offer of that, and we will attempt that shortly, one of those very tiny ones, might you be able to spare that for my very tiny knight-in-training friend?
For reals?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure how you will wield it, if I'm perfectly honest, but we could certainly strap it to you and you could waggle it about at people.
Yes! Okay. Strap it on me, I guess.
Sounds like a familiar phrase. Might that be possible, lovely clock lady?
Excuse me?
If ever you find yourself in need of further assistance, you need only send word and I will hot-foot it back here to support you in any way I can, regardless of the level of danger.
Ooh, that's a very rash promise.
That's quite the claim.
It's the right thing to do.
She produces a little scroll of paper that says exactly what you just said. I promise to come and help you if you call, regardless of danger. Would you sign to that?
Of course, in blood if necessary.
Wow.
I feel that's a little extreme. I don't think we need to go that far.
Big swing.
And a quill is in your hand. Do you sign it?
Yes, absolutely. I see no possible bad outcomes from this.
Fabulous. Oh, well, in that case, then I could probably... You have done me a favour. You've done me a future favour when it is tomorrow, which is not today. And I suppose then, yes, I owe you two favours in return. So, two swords.
Wonderful.
You are asking what... This is very honourable. You each asked for one for the other.
Yes.
I understand.
Your training is coming on very well.
Thank you.
You will have to retrieve the one on the roof, though, that is your sized.
I believe my tall, hairy friend may be able to assist with that.
I can do it. And I start climbing up
the
wall.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask Linda, but...
Almost halfway
Linda,
there.
Linda can give you assistance by just putting you on the roof.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Put you on the roof. Look at Worm.
What? No.
Can you lift sword?
I can attempt to shove it off the roof.
I...
Feats of strength is what we do.
I will help.
No. Let me do it first.
Hold worm.
Okay.
Ooh, put him on the floor.
Very soft fingers.
Yes, thank you. And then lift the sword. And pretend to do the thing where I measure for size, because that looked very clever. and then hand.
I'll put my shoulder into it.
Dross will hand you. Again, she will size you up with all of the tiny little spindly key-size swords on the ring, and she will size you up the perfect one for a Winkle.
I hold it in my mouth.
I think Sabarald is striding confidently now with a sword at his side.
Nice to meet you.
And you, and yes, I look forward to when we meet again.
Good yesterday.
Good yesterday to you all.
You head back into the Stonewall maze and the paths continue on. You get yourselves a little lost at times, but you manage to more or less... feel like you're still moving in the direction of the castle. There's been a few moments where you thought you'd looped around, so you made some markings on the floor, only to return to them pointing in a very different direction and getting confused.
Someone's painted over this. I'm getting premonitions.
Would Gundel be the one doing the markings?
100%. Yeah, I wouldn't let anybody else. And, you know, I'm wasting time making up. Unnecessarily elaborate, like, compass point illustrations on the floor.
Mm-hmm. I think at one point you find the compass point illustration, this beautiful drawing that you've done. Someone has smeared it and just drawn a bottom. on the flagstone instead.
Goblins.
And as you turn yourself back around, you actually hear a scraping, and you see a tiny little person appear from underneath the stone and berate you for graffitiing their home. Your mother's a friggin' avocado. And we'll...
I'm increasing the property values, you Philistine.
Oh, no, you get out of my street. You eventually make your way through and find yourself faced by a ramshackle stone building that juts out of a corridor. A wooden sign proudly reading, like hanging in front of it, Barclay's Poisons, a toxic tincture for every trouble. And near the bottom of that sign, a note has been added, free sprayer with every purchase, ask about our daily special. Outside the shop, a trio of goblins are lounging about, blocking the path forward, and each holding a sprayer. They're currently, like I said, lounging about. One of them's asleep. The other two are arguing over something they're throwing around on the floor.
Hooligans, Luddites, hold me back, hold me back.
Winkle is on top of his head now and he's holding it by his ears. With what? Who knows?
Barrel's just going to stride up to them. What ho? Which way to the castle?
Interlopers! Interlopers! They were the people the Goblin Queen warned us about, weren't they? Yes! Ooh! Let's get him! Let's get him!
No! We must be completely another group of beings, actually. Not at all the ones you've been warned about. We're just a bunch of lovelies out for a walk. Now, which way to the castle?
I think one of them pulls out a scroll, and there's a really bad kid stick figure drawing of the four of you. The three of you. And there is a dot on top of Sir Barrel's head.
Oh! Oh! Ghastly! Haven't got our likenesses at all. Give me that!
It is you!
If I had met the Goblin Queen, I would remember.
I would like to charge up to them and take that scroll off them and start to redraw it in a more accurate and beautiful style.
I think this is going to turn into an action scene, I think, yes. With all of us. Mm-hmm. So, because they had shouted, get them, like you walked straight up to them, they're not surprised, they were already on the lookout for people like you, they are going to go first.
Yes.
And then you're all going to get a turn.
Wise, yeah. Not smart.
Can I have been overlooked?
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
A trait is a flaw and a flaw is a trait. Each of them has a sprayer and they are going to try and spray. There are three of you that they can see. I'm going to roll to see what's in the sprayer. I would like each of you to make a DC 4. So you need to roll a 4, 5 or 6 to avoid being sprayed. And if you have anything that would help you in this, then you can use advantage.
Okay. I think that running and jumping would make it easier for me to avoid being sprayed.
Mm-hmm.
I still rolled really badly, though.
Oh, no.
A 1 and a 2.
Okay.
I control the wind to blow whatever's being sprayed straight back at all three of them every time?
Oh, now we're talking. Because they get to go first. Can you roll first to see if you avoid it in the first place?
Oh, I assumed I wouldn't because I was so big. But yes, very, yeah. Very happy to do that.
Roll first. I think because you are so big, you'll roll a disadvantage first to see what happens if the spray hits you. And again, you're looking for a 4.
Oh,
okay, cool. So that way, did you roll as well,
no,
Ellie?
No, not yet. 2.
Oh. So all three of you are theoretically going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, you see them kind of lurch towards you with the spray bottles.
Right.
Please roll with advantage, not a piece of cake.
Okay.
To try and deflect it.
I have a 4 and a 3.
You see the three of them start spraying, and two of the sprays look like it's the same kind of glittery substance. So the one aimed at you, Linda, and the one aimed at Gundel were going to be glittery. And then the one aimed at Sir Barold in the middle was like a thicker black, like it almost dribbled out. Ooh. Rather than it being a fine mist spray, it was dribbled out of the sprayer. But Linda calls upon her wind powers and sprays it back in the goblins' faces.
What you would see is hand gestures, but what's actually happening is, like, the winds are like, I don't move the wind. It's that I can ask the wind to do a particular thing through a hand gesture. So it looks like I'm conducting.
You see the two either side suddenly shrink. And go, and are suddenly the same size as Winkle.
Oh.
And the one in the middle, the black treacle, flicks back on them, and suddenly they're all, like, slowed and finding it difficult to move. And no, this is not how it's supposed to go. So now you have two tiny goblins and one very sticky goblin ahead of you. They still look vicious. The tiny ones are still kind of running towards you. I think they're even more furious now.
Yes.
Knights, save us.
I am brave. I'm going to charge an enemy that I may actually be able to defeat. Sword outstretched somehow. And yes, I think they'd probably get to me before I would have ever got to them. But it's you know, I'm trying. And I'll just yell, have at thee, villain!
Fantastic. So you run forwards, you inch forwards, and one of the tiny little goblins runs towards you. Do you want to make me a roll? This is going to be a 4 or higher to roundly defeat this little goblin.
Okay. And I can use my trait of endurance and bravery to give me...
You're brave. The,
yes, I am brave. Yes. Does that bring it down or give me advantage, I forget?
So that gives you advantage.
It gives me advantage. Okay.
So for 4.
4 or higher. Yeah!
There it is.
Like I had advantage. A 1 and a 4.
What does it look like? Now, there's no death in the labyrinth, but what does it look like as you dispatch this goblin?
Give him a little jab in the shoulder. He's going to go, ow! I'll go, ha-ha! And he'll turn to run, and I'll just, like, slowly inch after him, just poking him at the bottom with my sword in the way that in the films everyone gets bitten on the bottom by the sword sticks. It's going, I'm a knight!
Incredible.
I'm going to charge at the sticky goblin with my sword out.
Yes.
But only wanting the sword to touch the stickiness. I don't want to get the stickiness on me.
You. Of course not. No. Okay. That being the case, you're doing the same. You're rolling with advantage because you are brave. And you are attacking with your sword. This is going to be a 4 to defeat the goblin and a 5 to defeat the goblin and not get sticky.
Mm. Oh dear. I'll just give it a go. Oh, that's not good.
Oh no.
2 2s.
Okay.
I'm going to get sticky.
You're going to get sticky. So you run towards this goblin who is moving in slow motion and has this sticky sprayer. The wind is blowing the sprayer, like the spray away. So even as you run towards him and he tries to spray again, it just kind of, it gets stuck in the sprayer and it splashes back on him. But he does kind of stagger in a way that just smears the goop all over you, Sir Barold. Mm-hmm. And you are now also affected by the black tree.
Oh, no.
So you are doing physical things at a slower pace for now.
So there's a full speed but tiny goblin left to deal with. Well, and this
and
other sticky one
goblin
to deal with. I'm not one for fighting goblins.
Mm-hmm.
Gundle sucks it up, puts aside a little bit of pride, and going up on one leg, takes chalk out of his sling bag with his other foot and draws a bum on the floor in the hope that it'll make them laugh so much it incapacitates them.
Incredible. I love this. Do you think this might... I'm going to ask you to roll. Do you think a trait would apply here?
I have a painter trait.
You have your painting trait. Yes, so you can very artistically draw.
Yes. It's going to be the most realistic farting bum they've ever seen.
This is going to be a 4.
Okay.
Please, with advantage.
Come on. This would be so humiliating for Gundle if it works, so I really want it to work. No!
No! What's happening with these double twos? I think what happens is you start drawing a bum, and as soon as you touch your chalk to the slab, another little bricklayer pops up.
Oh, what do you think you're going to get? This is stupid.
and slams the like flips the brick over, and it slams down on your foot.
Ow!
So you're hopping around. The little tiny goblin is able to climb onto your foot.
Get him off! Get him off! Get him off!
So Linda's not strong, and it also feels against her nature to just do a step. Right, that feels not very nice. So I wonder if she can do another wind conduction,
mm-hmm.
and if it works, it will just roll this little guy really far away. He'll just wheel like right out of the situation, or like he'll bump into a wall and then have like the birds fly around his head.
Nice. Yeah, make me a roll with advantage.
Can I help by using my wings to help direct the wind even more specifically towards this goblin?
Yeah, absolutely. So usually it's four to defeat a goblin.
Yeah.
You're rolling with advantage because you're using a wind.
Yeah.
My wind. Using your wind. And because Gundel is helping, that takes the DC down to three. So you're looking for a three. Incredible. Yeah. That is a four and a six.
So I think we'll go with Gundel flapping, and I just do like a pushing gesture, and the little guy just rolls away going, ooh, and just like goes fully out of whichever square we're in, like basically out of sight, just is gone for now.
Thank you, Linda. What grace, what beauty.
Thank you.
It is now Sticky Goblin's turn as the only goblin left. And he has already got Sir Barold sticky. So I think is now turning around. And the tiny goblins, they were made small, but their sprayers were not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to very slowly push Sir Barold's face away with his sticky hand and reach down with the little spray. This is a very slow action, but it's happening whilst you're all dealing with the other two little goblins, and is going to try and spray someone else. And because he's super slow, he's going to do it with a disadvantage, and this is going to be a four that I'm looking for. Which he does manage to do.
I get got again.
I'm so sorry.
So sticky.
So small.
Now, as the spray, I think it makes sense. You know, you're right there. You're trying to attack with your sword, and he grabs the other spray canister, and suddenly you are as small as Winkle, as well as being sticky.
Oh, man.
And he kind of looms over you and very slowly,
tiny little fox. Oh, I'm sticky.
Well, I would like to try and ram my now tiny sword into the foot of the goblin.
This would be a four with disadvantage because you're sticky, but you're doing it very bravely, so this takes it to a flat roll.
Mm-hmm.
So one dice, 1d6.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Five.
Yes. You plunge your sword. It was and he's looking down at you as he's now pinned to the floor and very slow.
I will stand at the foot of this giant and I shall point my sword at him and say, "You are defeated, sir! The two greatest knights in all the realm have you exactly where we want you. Flee now as fast as you can, and you dare not fear our wrath."
Did I do it well? Good words.
Thank
yes.
Go. Go on then.
I cannot flee fast right now.
I said as fast as you can.
I'm stuck to the floor now.
Then curl up in a ball.
Okay, so you're doing it with advantage because you're being very brave, and you've been given, he is stuck to the floor.
Yeah.
Because of Sir Barold's actions.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is quite a tricky thing because you are often overlooked.
Oh, absolutely,
there.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be, you're rolling with advantage, but you are looking for a six.
Can I help?
You already have.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
So actually, no, it would be a six, but you've helped, so it's now a five.
Oh. Okay.
I would like to just stare and point down at Winkle to avoid him being overlooked.
It's pretty effective.
Yeah. That will take it to a four.
Thank you.
In exactly the same vein, can I just draw a circle around on the cobbles with lots of arrows pointing at him?
This is the thing you're intimidated by.
Okay, you're looking for a three.
Yay! I mean, I've done it already, but let's see what it's going to be.
Yay! Fantastic. The goblin looks it as two tiny compatriots that have disappeared as far as he's concerned, because they are now also overlooked as being that small, and looks down at you in surprise that this tiny creature could be so bold and brave and aggressive.
Well, the more trouble it's worth. Could you remove your sword so I can walk away?
Very well.
No, I said being a bull. Being a bull.
But I want my sword back, though.
You can have it back. Okay. But being a bull.
I need to...
Curl up.
I need to move my feet.
Okay, you can do remove the sword.
Barold stickily, squelchily removes the sword.
Curl up in a ball. Like a big old sticky hedgehog. Bird! And I inch forward and turn round and do whatever a worm can do to make it look like you've put your foot on a vanquished foe. Paint me!
I'm going to take that scroll that I was going for right at the beginning, the scrawly wanted poster. I'm going to redo that, and it's going to include Winkle with his with one foot segment up on a vanquished foe.
The goblin very slowly starts stickily rolling away.
Can I take his sticky treacle sprayer?
Yeah, they're all left on the floor.
Great. I don't care about the glitter.
It does actually look empty, though. That's the thing. Oh. He's used it a couple of times.
Okay.
The tiny ones also, though, they have been used.
I'll take an empty sprayer anyway.
Yeah.
Because I've got paintbrushes, but I don't have, like, a spraying applicator. I could fill it with something else.
There is... So each one had two sprays in it. So...
there's one shrinky one.
There's one shrinky spray.
Can I take the empty treacly one and the shrinky one with one dose?
You absolutely can, yeah.
Thank you.
And as the sticky goblin rolls away, I think that's where we're going to leave it for this week.
All right, lovies. It's me, Matt, your messed up looking bird. I hope you enjoyed Act 1 of Labyrinth Untold. There will now be an interval of 2 weeks, and in between, next week, we'd like to invite you backstage to get a glimpse into how we created the characters for this production.
Hello, lovies. Nat here. You may know already, but I also play D&D games on Twitch with Roll Together. We have lots of one-shots and short 4, 6, 8 and 12-parter stories set in the D&D world of Faerun, as well as a couple of homebrew worlds and stories, and we're also branching out into other short one-shot non-D&D games. You can find our archive on YouTube, and we're on podcasts too. If you enjoy my goblin queening for Labyrinth Untold, you might be interested in watching me DM the 4-parter series Nexus and its sequel Nexus Revolutions, where I send up tropes in sci-fi games and movies with magical science gone bad. We've also recently started a new long-running campaign, Eodrun Chronicles Awakening, set in a homebrew fantasy world with steampunk elements. Take a listen to some of the clips for a little taster, then search for Roll Together RPG across Twitch, YouTube, Podfeeds, and social media. Come join us. And don't forget, always stay classy at the table.
Josh, am I alone?
You think you are?
And now the humans are gone, I can play the band songs. We built this office on sacred ground.
I'm terrified to know what on earth you're going to try and use this for, but...
Well,
4 miles.
Science.
Or a really delicious snack.
What seems to be the problem?
Well, I believe everyone might be dead.
That is such an emergency.
This has been Labyrinth Untold, a studio production from Merely Roleplayers, starring me, Matt Boothman, as Gundel, Ellie Pitkin as Sir Barold von Branwick, Helen Stratton as Linda, Strat as Winkle, and Natalie Winter as the Goblin Queen. Nat planned this season, I edited and produced this episode, and the theme music is by Alexander Pankhurst. We were playing Jim Henson's Labyrinth, The Adventure Game by Ben Milton and Jack Caesar, published by Riverhorse at riverhorse.eu. Merely Roleplayers is a Foggy Outline production in association with Blackshaw Theatre Company. Until next time, if drama be the food of life, play on. Foggy Outline. Undivide your world.